Good morning. Wonderful to see so many of you this morning. Thank you for being with us. In most social conversations these days, the topics range from politics, policy, procedure, protocol, and payment. The price of everything these days are going up quickly, everything from cars to cake. The reality is that the world has changed profoundly in the last year and a half, and we're all in a state of adjustment. That doesn't mean that we have the bad news yet. I mean, a few of us have already figured out that no matter what political party wins, we lose. That's fine, because as a community of faith, what we immediately do is get ready for how we're going to protest. We have a say at the election, and we have a say following the election. We do get to say about what happens in policy process, protocols, and how much we pay for things. But there are very severe issues that are also going on all around us. There are pleasant conversations, and there are difficult conversations, everything from conception to cancer. And the reality is, for you and I, we are in challenging times. And so the question that we get to explore today is, did he wash his hands yet? And I got to tell you today, that's a big deal, isn't it? Has he had a couple of needles? Although, as clergy, we're not allowed to ask you that. So I won't ask you if you've had your needle yet, because that'd be wrong. And the wardens break into a body sweat. So I'll just wash my hands. 2,000 years ago, Jesus and his buddies show up at a reception with a bunch of religious folks. Notice I didn't say faithful. I said religious. And they had a question. Why do your disciples not wash their hands before they eat? And 3 or 4 years ago, the question would have answered this way: I forgot. Well, now we understand how some folks would be extremely upset in certain cultures if they hadn't washed their hands yet. It's become life and death. Have you washed your hands yet? But in the context in which Jesus responds to the religious folks, he's extremely irritated because he sees in them behaviors and attitudes that are very unhealthy. And so he does this. How are things with your soul? Almost 20 years ago, I sat down with a pastor in the United States in a role as a mentor, and I was asked to do an intervention. And I was given all kinds of language, and most of it was punitive. And so I decided to ask a different question. And I looked into his eyes, and I said, "How are things with your soul?" And he burst into tears. He said, "I can't pray. I can't pray. And I'm so mad all the time at situations and circumstances, I can't sleep. And I've started washing away those feelings. And I simply put my arms around him and I said, this is what's going to happen. Next weekend, you and your wife are on your way to a retreat that the church is going to pay for. We're going to get a babysitter so that your kids are with the very best possible care over a period of 3 days. And then on Monday, you're going to go into AA. And we're going to get you some help. Because we do not live in a culture that when people are in crisis, we toss them away like trash. When people are in crisis, we move in, not away. We offer love and support and encouragement. We get them the tools they need to find some sense of healing and new beginning. Several months later, he returned to the pastorate. His marriage was healthier. His family was healthier. He was healthier. And gradually, he learned how to pray again, which you would all agree is pretty important for a pastor. You and I are in all kinds of different states of frustration, irritation, and even the slightest bit of anxiety when it comes to what comes next. We remember that the teachers in this room are not employed, they are consecrated. They're anointed. It's a calling, whether that gets acknowledged by the broader community or not. We know that the nurses and the doctors and the nurse practitioners and the physiotherapists are experiencing a calling and that they are working continually in the midst of a crisis. And so we do the best we possibly can for them. We pray for them. We pray for God's direct intervention to bless their marriages, to bless their children, to bless their families, and to give them the courage and the strength that they need. Jesus was profoundly disturbed by the religious folks who said, "Have you washed your hands yet?" When he saw all of the issues underneath the surface, and he began to explore with them what Herbert O'Driscoll calls the intrinsic and extrinsic issues of faith. Apparently, when I can't be heard, some people are upset. I didn't say all. Intrinsic and extrinsic. In other words, is your priority what's happening on the outside? Or is your priority what's happening on your inside? What is your faith doing to inform your mind? What is your faith doing to inform your emotions? What is your faith doing to keep you not only alert and focused, but to be intentional about exploring joy? Now, I don't do this very often, but let me tell you a little bit about a conversation I had yesterday far, far away from here. And without identifying the person, let me tell you that that individual is extremely ill. And when I spent a few minutes with them and I asked them, "How are you today?" they stared off from their front porch across a field with the breeze moaning through the trees and the sound of the birds, and said, "It's a beautiful day to be alive." Are we positioning ourselves in creation to experience the blessings that there are? Are you intentionally spending time at the edge of the water at a beach looking over a sunset? A glorious gift of creation. Are you taking time for exercise in a park where you can enjoy all the blessings and the sounds of creation? Are you spending time with people these days, even if it's 6 to 12 feet apart? Or is in our situation, you're pretty safe at 17 feet? We got a stick. We measure it here. The reality is that there are many blessings and gifts that we are being given that we need to be intentional about appreciating. And I want to encourage you to do that today. In the charismatic evangelical movement, there's a fascinating phrase. And it is, do we intentionally place ourselves at the foot of the cross every day? Let me explain what that means. It means, are you positioning yourself emotionally, psychologically, physically, and spiritually in the presence of God to listen for God's voice, whether it be spoken directly or indirectly from the people that love and care for you? These are the challenges that I give you as we wrap up the summer season, that you're intentional about self-care, intentional about nurturing your spirit, and that the outside things, so many of which are beyond our control, are less important than what's going on with your soul. And 2,000 years ago, as Jesus looked around the room at a bunch of religious folks, he was just so frustrated that they'd lost that. Now, some of you, maybe even just a few, would be thinking this morning, but Stephen, how about those issues? How about those social justice issues? How about the cultural issues? How about the unemployment? How about the fact that there are too many families living in poverty? How about those who are living on the street? And my response to you is, you cannot serve from an empty cup when you have been filled up again. Then we are able to reach out into the rest of the world, starting with our own neighborhoods and our own city and our own communities and far beyond. Some would even say to me, Stephen, we haven't heard a word from you about the Afghan people and the horrendous situation that exists in there. Believe me, I watch and monitor every day, and I do what I can right now, and that is to pray. But believe me, in the coming weeks and months, there will be much more that you and I will be invited to do, because many of those good people are coming here. They're cutting through the UK. They're cutting through the United States. But you know there's dialogue about how we need to prepare to receive refugees who come not because they want to, but because they have to. But not until our own spiritual cup is full. So I gently want to encourage you to spend the next 2 weeks filling that cup. Send me a text when you're standing on the edge of a beach. Send me a photograph when you see a sunset. Send me a picture when it's a sunrise. I may not be up at the time, but I'd love to see it. Send me the pictures of the time that you're having with children, grandchildren, nieces and nephews, family and friends. Even if the picture's got to be a wide lens to prove you're 6 feet apart. I'd love to see those wonderful stories to know that you're caring for your soul. Amen.